Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 27, 2024, Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word this evening to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege that we have this evening of assembling to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In Joel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, in Joel 3, 9 and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. In Joel chapter 3, 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. In Joel chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, we have the awesomeness of Armageddon. Joel 3, 9 and 10 sounds like this in corrected translation. Proclaim this among the nations. Four commands. Command number one, prepare for war. Command number two, cause to rouse the warriors, training for war. Command number three, mobilize all the fighting men, mobilization for war. Command number four, and invade, attack. Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Now in Joel 3, 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. Joel 3, 11 and 12 plainly indicates that the judgment mentioned in this chapter will be divine judgment. Divine judgment on Israel's enemies. Joel 3, verse 11, sounds like this in corrected translation. Come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations, from every side. From every side means north, south, east, and west. From the north, the king of the north, which today would be Russia. From the east, the kings of the east, today would be communist China. From the south, the king of the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc. From the west, the revived Roman Empire under the leadership of Antichrist. So come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, north, south, east, and west, and assemble for war there, Armageddon. O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead his armies, his elect angels, with him as he returns at the second advent. The Lord Jesus Christ will lead his armies down from heaven at the second advent. This is taught in our verse here, but also Revelation chapter 19. So turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. Revelation 19, starting at verse 11. Here we have the second coming, the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back. Came the first time to solve the world problem of sin, which he did on the cross. He's going to come back the second time, and here we have the second advent. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True, and with justice he judges and makes war. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest warrior of all time, the greatest soldier of all time, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back at the second advent, Jesus Christ will come back in great military glory. First of all, a uniform of military glory, and then a uniform of royal glory as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, ruling planet Earth in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. But first of all, he comes back with a uniform of great military glory, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was face to face with God, and the Word was eternal God. And his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, out of the mouth of the rider, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of generals, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave and small and great." And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse. In other words, to make war against Jesus Christ. Now Satan... these armies are brought to Armageddon by two people, They're brought together there by God for judgment, and they're brought together there by Satan to, one, try to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, and two, to defeat Jesus Christ in battle. So here we have them assembled to go to war against Jesus Christ. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf, and with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on his horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. This is the most detailed description of Jesus Christ returning in great military glory as the greatest soldier of all time to defeat the king of the north and his armies, the kings of the east, communist China and their armies, the kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, the kings of the west, the revived Roman Empire under the Antichrist. They'll all be gathered there. Their plan, under Satan's plan, destroy Israel. Destroy Israel, destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. If he can do that, Satan wins the angelic conflict. And then secondly, he has them assembled there to go to war against Jesus Christ. That shows you how arrogant Satan is. You have to be really, really arrogant to think you're going to go to war against Jesus Christ and win. Now, here's the thing. Jesus Christ is undefeated. He's undefeated. Anytime he's gone to war in judgment, he is undefeated. But Satan is so arrogant, he thinks he can do it. So Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead his armies down from heaven at the second advent, Revelation 19:11-21. He will be riding a white horse, and the white horse speaks of his coming victory over the forces of evil in the world, Revelation 19:11. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge and make war with perfect justice, perfect integrity, Revelation 19:11. His piercing judgment is indicated in the phrase, his eyes are like blazing fire, Revelation 19:12. His right to rule planet Earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is evidenced by the many crowns he is wearing, Revelation 19:12. His name is Halagos Tuthau, the Word of God, John 1:1 and Revelation 19:13. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. The name on his robe and on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16, Revelation 17:12-14. And the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, is the very same King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the eternal God, Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 6:15. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19:11-21 is the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth in a uniform of great military glory. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to earth to wage war. His robe is dipped in blood, Revelation 19:13, Isaiah 63:2-6. So verse 12, all we've exegeted so far, let the Gentile nations be roused. And that word, roused, is the Hebrew word Ur. And the Nephal stem of Ur tells us that the Gentile nations of the world will receive the action of being awakened and roused to invade Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. God declares that He will gather Gentile nations to Israel. Joel 3:12, Zechariah 14:2. But the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing the nations to Israel for judgment. But amazingly, Satan will also gather the nations to Israel, but his purpose is to win the angelic conflict. Demonic spirits will come from Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet during the drawing the kings of the world to war through performing miraculous signs, which we saw last week in Revelation 16:12-16. So, a question. Why would Satan want to bring the nations of the world to Israel? Good question. I'm glad you asked that. Answer. Satan is drawing them to Israel for the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14. And Satan will bring them to Israel for a number of reasons. So let's get those reasons. Satan will bring the nations of the world, the king of the north, which today would be Russia and his allies, Iran is included in that, kings of the east, today communist China, kings of the south, pan-Arabic bloc, king of the west, a revived Roman Empire under the leadership of the Antichrist. Satan will bring them to Israel for a number of reasons. First of all, he will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off. Revelation 12, verses 7 to 9. So let's turn over to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 7 to 9. He will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, the great archangel Michael, and his angels, the elect angels, fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon and his angels, fallen angels, fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with them. So the first reason, he will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off. Revelation 12, 7 and 9. Secondly, he will know that time is running out for him, and therefore he must act quickly in order to win the angelic conflict. Revelation 12, verse 12. Revelation 12, 12. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. So point two, he will know that his time is running out for him. Right now, Satan is the ruler of planet Earth. He's the one in charge ruling planet Earth. But he knows that this time, his time is short. So he shifts gears. Three, He wants to pour out His wrath on Israel, hoping that her destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. He wants to pour out His wrath on Israel, hoping that her destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. You see, God has elected Israel to privilege. Israel is the apple of God's eye. God has made four unconditional covenants with Israel. Four unconditional covenants. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and new covenants. Four unconditional covenants guaranteeing that the remnant of believers who are rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent and go into the millennial kingdom, they will be the recipients of the four unconditional covenants. Guaranteed. God's guaranteed it. So, if Satan can destroy Israel, destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, Satan wins the angelic conflict. And Satan stays as the ruler of planet earth. So again, point three, he wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, hoping that her destruction, if he can destroy Israel, if he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, why is there worldwide anti-Semitism right now? Getting greater and greater and greater. Look what's going on in America. Look what went on at the Democratic Convention. Everything there was anti-Semitic. Hatred of Israel. Anti-Semitism. It's all over the United States. It's all over the world. Where is that coming from? It's coming from the ruler of planet Earth, Satan. He is developing a hatred of Israel and the Jewish people all over planet Earth. And in the, we're right now in the church age, but the church age ends with the resurrection, the rapture. And following the rapture, the tribulation begins. That's when the Antichrist comes on the scene. The tribulation, 7 years in length. And the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. And that's when Armageddon takes place. There's anti-Semitism already. Satan's already shifted gears as the ruler of planet Earth, and there is hatred for Israel all over planet Earth. And they're getting more and more anti-Semitism and hatred of Israel in America. And God has said in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. And when we as the United States of America become anti-Semitic, God will judge America. He will judge this nation. Guaranteed. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So point three, he wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, Satan does, hoping her destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. Revelation 12, look at verse 13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman is Israel, who had given birth to the male child. The male child is the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman, Israel, was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert. That's not Las Vegas. In the desert. Where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. What's time, times, and half a time? The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. The great tribulation period. And out of the serpent's reach, Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman Israel and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, enraged at Israel, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring. Who's that? Those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So the third reason, he wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, hoping that her destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. Revelation 12, 13 to 17. Point four, he is also gathering the nations together to wage war with Jesus Christ at his second advent. He is also gathering the nations together to go to war, to wage war with Jesus Christ at the second advent. Turn over first of all to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 12. We start out the ten horns. The ten horns, this is the revived Roman Empire. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. That's the Antichrist. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast, the Antichrist. He's the leader of the revived Roman Empire. And they will make war against who? Against the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And they will make war against the Lamb, Jesus Christ. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Now, that's one passage. The other one we saw, Revelation 19, 19. Then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together. For what reason? To make war against the rider on the horse, the Lord Jesus Christ and his army. So point four, he is also gathering the nations to wage war with Jesus Christ at his second advent. Revelation 17, 12 to 14, Revelation 19, 19. Point five, if Satan can overthrow Christ's rule on earth and win the angelic conflict, then he can keep it for himself. He can remain the ruler of planet earth. If Satan can overthrow Christ's rule on earth and win the angelic conflict, then he can keep it for himself. So we have so far, let the Gentile nations be roused. So the Gentile nations will be gathered to Israel, two agents, by God for judgment, secondly, by Satan to one, try to destroy Israel, secondly, try to defeat Jesus Christ in battle. So the Gentile nations will be gathered to Israel, and but point one, but they, the kings of the king of the north today, that would be Russia and his allies, Iran, and secondly the kings of the south, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, and the kings of the East. So we got point one here is but they, who is they? Now they, the king of the North, Russia, the king of the South, Pan-Arabic Bloc, kings of the East, they would be communist China today, but they will also come to overthrow the Antichrist. They will also come to overthrow the Antichrist. And this is presented in Daniel. So turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. In Daniel 11, verses 36 to 45, we have the Antichrist. Daniel 11, 36 to 45. Daniel 11, 36 says, the king, that's the Antichrist, will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods, Jesus Christ. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. Now, look over at verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south, this is the Pan-Arabic Bloc, will engage him, the Antichrist, in battle. And the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. And this is a pincers movement. The king of the north and the kings of the south will come together in a pincers movement to try to wipe out the Antichrist. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land, that's Israel. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and the Nubians in submission. But reports from the east, the king of the east, which would be communist China, and the north, the king of the north, which would be Russia today, will alarm him. This is alarm the Antichrist. And he will set out in great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas. That's between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. At the beautiful holy mountain, yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. This is the section, Daniel 11, 36 to 45 about the Antichrist. So, but they, the kings of the north and the south and the east, will also come for the purpose of overthrowing the Antichrist, Daniel 11, 36, Daniel 11, 40 to 45. Two, the king of the south, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, and the king of the north, Russia, and its allies will initiate a pincer movement against the Antichrist and his armies, and that's Daniel 11, verse 40. The king of the south, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, and the king of the north, Russia and his allies, will initiate a pincer movement against the Antichrist and his armies, Daniel 11:40. Three, with the Middle East as his base of operations, he, the Antichrist, will sweep through many countries like a flood, Daniel 11:40. With the Middle East as his base of operations, he, the Antichrist, will sweep through many countries like a flood. Daniel 11:44. He will also invade Israel, the beautiful land. Daniel 11:41. He will also invade Israel, the beautiful land. Daniel 11:41. Five, his first strike will be against Egypt and her Arab allies. Daniel 11:42 and 43. His first strike will be against Egypt and her Arab allies. Daniel 11:42 and 43. Six, then the Antichrist will hear alarming reports of the advancing military invasion from the king of the east, communist China, and the king of the north, Russia. That's Daniel 11:44. Then the Antichrist will hear alarming reports of the advancing military invasion from the kings of the east, communist China, and the king of the north, Russia, and his allies, Daniel 11:44. 7. Enraged, the Antichrist will set out to destroy and annihilate many of the invaders. Daniel 11:44. Enraged, the Antichrist will set out to destroy and annihilate many of the invaders. Daniel 11:44. Eight. Then he will occupy Israel and will establish his headquarters in Jerusalem between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, Daniel 11:45. Then he will occupy Israel and will establish his headquarters in Jerusalem between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, Daniel 11:45. 9. But the Lord Jesus Christ will destroy all of these invading armies at his second advent. That's our passage, Joel 3:11-15 and Revelation 19:11-21. But the Lord Jesus Christ will return in a uniform of great military glory and destroy all of these invading armies at his second advent. All right. So we have verse 12 so far. Let the Gentile nations be roused. And then it says in the King James, we always start with the King James, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. This is the hifil imperfect of the verb Allah plus the preposition El joined by a makef to the noun Amek plus the noun Jehoshaphat. We have the verb Allah. Looks like that in the Hebrew, ayin, A-L-A-H, Allah. And Allah is the verb that means to go up, to ascend, to climb. But when it's used in a military context, as it is here, it means to advance. And that's how it should be translated, to advance. In our verse, the armies of the Gentile nations are advancing to a special place. It's only mentioned two times in the Word of God. The Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's found in Joel 3:2. It's found in our verse, Joel 3:12. The Valley of Jehoshaphat. So in our verse, the armies of the Gentile nations are advancing to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And you see the word Jehoshaphat is a compound word made up of the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, and Shaphat, to judge. It means the Lord judges. They are advancing to judgment from the Lord Jesus Christ. They are advancing to judgment from the Lord Jesus Christ. The hiphil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. They are caused to advance. The preposition el denotes motion toward, direction towards. It means to or into. And then amek is a noun that is the lowland, a vale, a valley. And then Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. Looks like this in the Hebrew. That's Y, Shava, H, long O, S, H, A, P, H, A, T. Now you have a combination here, a compound word. We have Jehovah, that's the Lord. Jehovah, the Lord, and Shaphat, which is to judge. And what this, the whole purpose of this is that the Lord is judging. The Lord Jesus Christ is judging. The Lord Jesus Christ judges in a lot of different ways. In one way, we saw it in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he has his elect angels go out and gather up all of the Gentiles. All of the Gentiles, believers and unbelievers, that have survived the great tribulation. And they come before Jesus Christ. And he separates them. He separates the believers from the unbelievers. The believers are called the sheep. The unbelievers are called the goats. He separates the two. And the believers, the sheep, he tells them, go into the kingdom prepared for you by the Father. You go into the kingdom. They have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The unbelievers are cast into the fires of torments, where they're held there until the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment, they are judged by Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And that's in Revelation 20:11-15. So let the Gentile nations be roused and cause them to advance into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Lord judges. In other words, advancing to judgment. Judgment from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, for there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. This is the conjunction key with the adverb sham, plus the cal imperfect of the verb yashav, plus the cal infinitive construct of shaphat, plus the direct object marker eighth, joined by a makef to the noun kol, which is joined by a makef to the plural noun goyim, with the definite article, and then the preposition min prefixed to the noun saviv. We start out with the conjunction ki. K, long I, ki. And ki is a causal conjunction. It's correctly translated because. It introduces the cause or the reason why the Gentile nations are roused and brought into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the Lord judges. And the reason is because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go to war with them, and he is going to judge them based on his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that's Joel 3:12, our verse, and Revelation 19, verses 11 to 21. And then we have the adverb sham. You have to pardon me, my knees are really bugging me, so behave yourself out there. When my knees are really bugging me, you want to be on best poise and manners and thoughtfulness. Otherwise, if you're not and you just even look at me the wrong way, you know, I might eat. What are you laughing at? We have sham. So it takes me a little bit of time to get from there over to here. Sham. And sham means there. And what is there? There is the valley of Jehoshaphat. The Lord judges. And then we have the cal imperfect of the verb yashav. Yashav. Looks like that in the Hebrew, Y-A-S-H-A-B, yashav. Now, yashav is a Hebrew verb that generally means to sit. However, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon, page 442, says that Yashav has a very special meaning in certain contexts. It means to tarry for a very short time, to tarry for a very limited time. Why? To execute judgment. And that's how it's used here. So, to tarry for a limited or short time, to what? To cal infinitive construct of the verb shafat. S-H-A-P-H-A-T. To judge, for judgment. The cal infinitive construct introduces a purpose clause. So the corrected translation, because there I will tarry for a very short time, tarry for a very limited time, for the purpose of executing judgment. Because there I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will tarry there for a short time, a limited time, for the purpose of executing judgment. And then we have the direct object marker, eth. It's always neat. I wish they had this in English. They never had this in English. I was an English major. Aleph, E-T-H, F. It points out what the direct object are, and here to introduce the recipients of this judgment. And who are the recipients? Well, the recipients are Kol Hagoyim, all the Gentile nations. Are the recipients of this judgment. The preposition men means from. It's prefixed to the substantive saviv, which means roundabout from every side. And missaviv means from every side. It's the exact same phrase we had back in verse 11. That's kol hagoyim missaviv. That's the same phrase in verse 11 that we have now in verse 12. So the same Gentile nations from every side that invade Israel in verse 11 are the nations that will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 12. All right? The same Gentile nations from every side that invade Israel in verse 11 are the nations that will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 12. So, we have corrected translation. Let the Gentile nations be roused and cause them to advance into the valley of the Lord judges, the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of the Lord judges, because there I will tarry, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will tarry for a short time, a limited time, for the purpose of executing judgment on all the Gentile nations from every side. So you see, this is totally different. And in this verse, Joel 3:12, it is judgment on the nation, the armies of the kings of the north and the kings of the east and the south and the west. Judgment on these nations. In Joel 3:2, it's a judgment on Gentile unbelievers, those Gentiles that have survived the tribulation and come in, they will be gathered up, come before Jesus Christ, and He will separate the believers from the unbelievers. Believers go into the kingdom. The unbelievers are judged, cast into the fires of torment, held there until the second resurrection, and then judged by Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire. So, Jehoshaphat is the fact that the Lord judges. And that judgment has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father. John 5, verse 22 says, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." And then in verse 27, He, God the Father, gave Him, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. John 5, 22 and 23 and John 5, 27. So let the Gentile nations be roused and cause them to advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the Lord judges, because there I will tarry for a short time for the purpose of executing judgment on all the Gentile nations from every side. All right. So, Joel 3:11 and 12, the assembly for Armageddon. We've seen Joel 3:9 and 10, the announcement of Armageddon. Now in Joel 3:11 and 12, the assembly for Armageddon, which again says, "Come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, and assemble for war there, Armageddon. O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. Let the Gentile nations be roused and cause them to advance into the valley of the Lord judges, because there I will tarry for a short time for the purpose of executing judgment on all the Gentile nations from every side." So, what? Armageddon will take place in three locations. Armageddon will take place in three locations. First of all, Edom, which is located southeast of Jerusalem. Edom. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah 34. And I don't know if any of you, what your Bible, I have three Bibles up here. I don't study from these. I study from the, in the Old Testament, I study from the Biblia Hebraica, the original Hebrew. That's where I do all my study, from the Hebrew. All these are translations. I have a Schofield King James over here. That's a translation. I have an NASV. That's a translation. I have an NIV. That's a translation. One thing that's nice about this one, this is a Ryrie study Bible. And I took classes from Dr. Ryrie at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was excellent, excellent Bible teacher. And he has this Ryrie study Bible. And so if you have a Ryrie study Bible, you'll see that Isaiah 34, 1 to 17 is Armageddon and its judgments. Armageddon and its judgments. So we have Isaiah 34. Look at verse 5. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. See, it descends in judgment on Edom, the people I have totally destroyed. The sword of the Lord is bathed in blood. It is covered with fat, the blood of lambs and goats, fat from the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in Edom. So the first location is Edom. Also, turn over to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, start at verse 1. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozrah, with his garments stained crimson? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that we saw in Revelation 19, 11 to 21, that the Lord Jesus Christ has blood on his robe. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozrah, with his garments stained crimson? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to deliver. Why are your garments red like those of the treading of the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. The nations are under the leadership of the Satan. This is the great tribulation. I trampled them in my anger, and I trod them down in my wrath, and their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm, the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ, worked deliverance for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. So Armageddon will take place in three locations. First of all, Edom, Isaiah 34, 5 and 6, Isaiah 63, 1 to 6. Secondly, the southern kingdom, Judah. Judah, turn over to Zechariah. And we'll, by the way, when we finish with Joel, and I have a bunch of geniuses in this congregation, figured out what the next book was going to be. And I promised if you got it, you get it. I'm now broke trying to give gifts to all you people that got it right. Zechariah will be the next Old Testament book. It's a fantastic book, Zechariah. 14 chapters, and I'm just on the verge of getting into chapter 3 in my exegesis. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. And then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong because the Lord Almighty is their God. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves, and they will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples. But Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. Verse 7. The Lord will deliver the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me, Jesus Christ, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. So, Armageddon will take place in three locations. Edom, first location. Second location, Judah. And that's Zechariah 12, 2 through 11, and Zechariah 14, 2. But you have to come back. You want to find out what the third location is. You got to come back next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.